Amos chapter 3. Hear this word that Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all of your sins. So, God says that he has chosen his people, Israel and Judah. And because of that, therefore I will punish you for all your sins. Because he didn't choose the other nations. He chose this weak, disobedient people to be his special people. Now we too have been chosen. And there is this higher hand of God. The way we were maybe born into a believing Christian family. Perhaps the way that we happened to encounter someone who preached Jesus to us. There was this higher hand of God. And this was all of his grace. It wasn't that we chose that, but he chose us. And therefore we are responsible. We cannot just shrug and say, I'm not interested. No, we have been given the call by his grace. And if we turn away from it, as Israel did, he says, therefore I will punish you for all your sins. Do two walk together unless they have agreed where to meet? And I think the idea is that, I decided to meet with you. And we've agreed to meet. And if you now pull out of that, well, you are responsible. Will a lion roar in the thicket when he has no prey? Does a young lion cry out of his den if he's caught nothing? Can a bird fall in a trap on the earth where there is no snare set? Does a snare spring up from the ground when there's nothing to catch? Does the trumpet alarm sound in a city without the people being afraid? Does evil happen to a city and Yahweh hasn't done it? Just shows that evil in the sense of disaster comes from God, not from Satan or the devil, as people believe. Surely the Lord Yahweh will do nothing unless he first reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So then God has revealed his plans. And the principles by which he works, and the simple plan that's in view here, is that he is going to judge sin. The exact program that he's going to use, maybe we don't know. But the point is, he has revealed that. It's his secret. And he shared his secret to the prophets, who then spoke forth his word, and we read his word. So if you share a secret with somebody, that's because you trust them and you love them, and it's a sign that you love them and want to share your life with them. And this is what God has done with us. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord Yahweh has spoken, who can but speak it forth? So if we know God's word, we will speak it forth. And we have to do this. It's as obvious as if a lion has roared, which God has spoken. You cannot be next to a lion or suddenly a lion roars out of a bush when you're walking by unexpectedly and you just shrug and walk on. You have got to do something. Wow, there's a lion. He's roared and he's wagging his tail in that bush and he's coming towards me. You can't just shrug and say, yeah, I don't care. Nobody will do that. And so it is with us. God has spoken, and it is not for us to just shrug and walk on. You can't, really. Proclaim in the palaces at Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt and say, Assemble yourselves on the mountains of Samaria and see what unrest is in her and what oppression is among them. Indeed, they don't know how to do right, says Yahweh, who hoard plunder and loot in their palaces. Therefore, thus says the Lord, an adversary will overrun the land, and he will pull down your strongholds, and your fortresses will be plundered. So again, it's the idea of all that seems so humanly strong, strongholds, fortresses, gold and silver, all this is going to be taken away. And you may say, yeah, okay, fair enough, but I will just live in this life and enjoy myself. Yeah, okay, but then Jesus is going to come, and you have been called to meet him. You have been called to live forever. And so it's not the same for us as it is for somebody who never knew the gospel, for whom they know no different way to live than just to live for today and for what you can get in this world. We've got the hope of eternal life. And when people are resurrected and come to the day of judgment and see, wow, this kingdom, this everlasting life is in front of me. And what a fool I was. I said I didn't want it. There will be the weeping and the banging of teeth. Thus says Yahweh, as the shepherd rescues out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be rescued who sit in Samaria on the corner of a couch and on the silken cushions of a bed. It's a bit strange. Like a shepherd rescues a piece of an ear out of the mouth of a lion. Why would he do that? I can only say that I think he would do that because he so loves his sheepy. That lion got my sheep and he's got a little bit of its ear still in his mouth. I'm going to take that out of his mouth because I so love my sheep. So this is the good shepherd. This is the loving shepherd. And that is how God and Jesus are with us. Listen and testify against the house of Jacob, says the Lord Yahweh, God of armies. In the day that I visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. I will strike the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory will perish, and the great houses will have an end, says Yahweh. Well, I think that's referring to how in the time of Amos, and he was just a herdsman, he was a humble farmer sort of guy, the rich people in Israel and Judah, and the kings and the rulers were living in luxury to the point that they had houses of ivory, of elephant tusk. I'm sure that means that the houses were decorated with elephant tusks. That is what we could call opulence. That is what we could call high luxury. And in our world, everybody thinks, oh, that's so cool to live in very high luxury and opulence. Ooh, it was so cool. It's not cool. God hates that sort of thing. It's like people killing, I don't know, tigers or cloudy-skinned tigers and making beautiful, as they think, fur coats out of the tiger skin or the leopard skin. God doesn't like that sort of thing.
Jesus doesn't like hunts. Kill animals, kill rhinos, and kill polar bears.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think.
And
why God doesn't like people killing those beautiful animals for their skins is for the same reason here. He's against them having palaces of ivory, of elephant tusk. That it's just absolute luxury living and opulence, and people think that's cool. God doesn't think that's cool. And it needed somebody like Amos, the herdman, to say to people, look, God's going to destroy all this, and if your life consists, as Jesus said, in the things which you possess, it'll destroy you as well. So it's not for us, the opulent life, the toilet seats made of pearls and all this kind of stuff you hear people having. That is not cool. Or hugely expensive vehicles, cars and houses and holidays and so forth. This is not at all what God thinks is cool. Because actually the life of luxury, the life of opulence, is only lived at the expense of other people. And this is one of the things Amos is going to go on and criticize.